How did an Aussie get over here to the States, team up with World Cup winner, professional cricketer? Mm-hmm. How'd that happen? How'd we get here? This is That's Cricket Team, Adam Bannon, Liam Plunkett. Welcome to the first episode.
That is cricket.
That is cricket. That's cricket right here. Welcome, Liam.
Thank you. It's, firstly, obviously a lot of the viewers won't know who I am or who you are.
Well, yeah. The Americans, they are not familiar with the cricket, but we're gonna dial them in on who of us are. We're over here at the John Boy Meteor. We're in the Jake and Jimmy studio right here, John Boy Meteor. It's good to be here. We both moved to America now. That's our new home.
Yeah.
Both coming from cricket countries that mm-hmm. have now made USA our home, and now we're here. We're teaching the Americans cricket. It's our gift. What we're doing now. It's a gift.
But yeah, see, my history is a professional cricketer, still playing. Hopefully going to play one more year Major League Cricket, which is the new league, the new exciting league here in America. I've played for 20 years, moved across here 4 years ago, trying to grow the game of cricket that we both love. And obviously being on this platform is amazing to be able to access fans who don't know nothing about cricket. Hopefully we can educate them.
Yes.
Not make them change the mind, but just show a little bit of interest in cricket.
Love for the cricket.
Yeah.
A little love. Because we love cricket. That's what it is. And me, born in Australia, played cricket growing up. I played cricket. My dad played cricket. His dad played cricket. They asked me, when I first came here, they said, what does cricket mean to you? And I said, well, I played. My dad played. His dad played. But I never got to meet my grandfather. The only thing I have of his is his cricket bat. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I have of his. That's the only connection I have to my grandfather. And that was just kind of what it was. We grew up playing cricket. My dad's a cricket coach. We built a full net mm-hmm. in our backyard with a bowling machine and everything. We trained. It was just part of the life of being an Australian. You play cricket. That was what we did. And then moving to America, I always gave up. I gave up even doing cricket ever again. Coming to America, I wanted to come here and become a dad, and that's the life that I chose. And then now with this new, cricket, there is cricket here. You're involved in the Major League Cricket. USA beat Pakistan. It started this whole wave of Americans asking, what is cricket? I posted my first video. I came home. My phone's blowing up with, USA just beat Pakistan in the World Cup. I'm like, what do you mean? We have a team. We're doing this. Okay. So I record one video, within 24 hours, it hit 1 million views. And I said, okay, that means I'm the American cricket guy. Now I'm going to teach everyone in America how to play cricket. And now we're here. Now we're talking about it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, different kind of spin on my journey.
Yeah. It's a little different.
I'm sure you're a great cricket in your time.
Hey, well, I made 100 at the backyard at my mom's house. So that's up there. I know you've got a World Cup.
That's
to your name, but I don't know.
That's very positive of you, backyard. It is
backyard, yeah.
But yeah, my journey, play cricket. My family love cricket. I played as a kid watching my family every weekend. My dad was a good amateur cricketer. I signed professional cricket for Durham County Cricket Club, which is in the north of England, when I was 16, 17, and played cricket professionally all my life. I played for England cricket team over 100 times, which I'm very proud of. That resulted in a World Cup win in 2019.
One of the best games ever.
Yeah, definitely. It was, and sometimes I do like to say that, but it actually, in terms of the stats and how the game went into extra time, into overtime, in cricket, we call it the super over. Yeah, so to play and to finish with England in 2019 winning the World Cup is, I'm very, very grateful to be part of that. But also grateful to be here.
Be here.
And educate the USA
yes.
audience on cricket.
Yes. Now, part of your journey, I know we want to skip over it. You played for Durham. You played, that's the highest level you can play before you moved to England,
yeah.
English cricket. From there, you did a little IPL, little Indian Premier League action.
You kind of chop it down. So I played for Durham. I played for in South Africa for Durban. Then I played Melbourne. I played for Delhi. I played for Sylhet, Chittagong in Bangladesh. Bounced around a little bit, played in San Francisco. And then with England cricket team, you've got a 12-month schedule, a full calendar every year. And normally how that works is in the English summer, you'll have India or Pakistan or another country will come across for like an 8-week period. So you play an English summer, you play 8 weeks against India. Then you might take a 2-week break and then you play 8 weeks against Australia. And that's kind of how the summer unfolds. Then in the winter time, it's the opposite. So the England cricket team will travel around the world playing against different countries, India, Pakistan. So you've got like a full cycle. You're traveling every winter, which is obviously great. You travel, you see the world, you're playing cricket, which is something that I love to do. Still love to do it today. But yeah, very fortunate. Travel the world playing cricket, and it's obviously given me a great life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things that we're going to try to educate the American fans on, because in the cricket world, playing for your country is the pinnacle. Over here, American sports, playing franchise sport is the pinnacle of the sport. Obviously, we have you're part of the Unicorns, San Francisco Unicorns, NLC. That's the unicorn right there. I normally rock it with the bucket hat, and people see me run around the stadium with the bucket hat. But they were over. We had the Coliseum. You guys kicked it off this season at the Coliseum, home of baseball. Really good crossover there with the whole Moneyball. It was amazing to be there. Walk us through what it's been like just over here, quick on being at the Coliseum.
Yeah, I mean, it seems there's a lot of baseball cricket crossover. In terms of the Auckland Coliseum, I did a really cool day out at the Yankee Stadium with Nick Swisher. And then obviously now with John Boy Media and cricket coming together, it feels like there's a lot of collaboration. But going back to your point of playing at the Auckland Coliseum, I mean, we probably had maybe 9,000-10,000 people watching. But I think it was the history of that ballpark, being in the dressing rooms with the leak in the corner and the paintwork kind of shitty. But that was the appeal to it, you know. You could feel like the stadium breathing. Obviously, watched Moneyball and seen kind of the history, read the book on Moneyball, watched the film. So that's kind of in the back of your mind. But yeah, it felt like when we played at Auckland Coliseum for the Unicorns, it felt like cricket had kind of made it. It feels like this is our home place. There's a fan base and we're actually playing some proper professional cricketers. And you know, with the team, it's stacked out with some of the best in the world. Yeah. So it's great to showcase such a great game. And it was high scoring. I think one of our hitters, Finn Allen.
World record.
Hit the equivalent of, 19 sixes?
19 sixes.
That's 19 home runs.
Yes.
In one innings, which was pretty cool. So, yeah, I mean, it was amazing. It was definitely, for me, it felt like the arrival of cricket in the Bay Area.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we are going to be dialing all in on the Ashes. We're going to be covering it all here from New York City. We'll have live streams. We'll be staying on through the night. It's going to be all through the night for us being on the time zones.
But the Night Watchman.
The Night Watchman. We're going to have that all coming here to the channel. But we're going to dive in now to what's happening in and around the Ashes. We're going to get stuck in. Ashes team has been, all the Australian team has been, the 15-man squad has been picked. But overnight, a lot of George Bailey talking about stuff happening here. Mitch Marsh going to be six beers deep for a session. ICC probably going to sanction him, and the umpire's not allowed to get a breathalyzer out to him. What are your thoughts on George Bailey stirring up the media there with that?
Yeah, I think it was obviously led from Mitch Marsh doing that comment, right? Saying that he's probably going to be 6-7 beers deep. And obviously George Bailey just kind of reacting to that. But it's kind of funny, the spin on it.
Yeah.
You're too drunk to play that first test, mate.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit of banter back and
forth. I think he'd still be decent. If he was six beers in, he'd be pretty loose, ready to go.
Loose as it is, though. You know? He doesn't mess around. But I think at the end of the day, that's what George Bailey said. For the first test or the second test, it's not like tactically what they're looking to do.
Yeah. So. No, well, he wasn't selected. I think people would like him in the Bison. He was one of the most hated cricketers for a while there. Australians booed him. He came out and made 100, I think it might be 2019 or so. And then now he's one of the favorites. But the Bison, the big man, they love him. He's captaining the T20 squad and he's doing very well. But now he's going to be... He'll be six beers deep for that first session and for that first day. Sammy Consis gets dropped. George Bailey says even if he fought it, he would still be making headlines just for that happening. What are your thoughts on Sammy not making it into the squad?
Yeah, I can see why, because, I mean, you have him not in the squad. You got Jake Weatherall coming into the squad. Matt Renshaw missing out.
Matt Renshaw missed out?
He did, but I think it was, you look at Weatherall, he's got good stats this year. Obviously a good cricketer. He's 31 now, so he's kind of established himself. He knows himself, knows his game. When you look at Constance, I think that what they're kind of going to say to him is like, there's no set way for him to improve. They need to keep taking him to A-team cricket. He needs to play Shield cricket. Potentially he needs to go to batting camps, spin camps.
Yeah.
You know, so he needs to learn his game. He's so young. He's played a little bit and he's so exciting, but let's not forget he is young. He still needs to learn and grow.
Yeah. I think coming out last year, bought a Gavaskar trophy, ramping Boomer for six, it was it just made that moment. He took it to India, and mm-hmm. and it was an incredible moment. It's hard to even put into words to an American what it meant for him to ramp the best bowler in the world for six. It's not a conventional shot. You don't see that in Test cricket, but he really put it to India and changed the game. Coming off that, not a lot of runs. He was dropped. He was dropped again. Didn't make runs in West Indies, and now he's out of the side altogether. Yeah. Weatherald's one of the most runs scored in first-class cricket for Australia. I think it's going to be a good match. We had, I was thinking, hopefully, maybe the Renshaw. We wonder if there's a connection with you and Renshaw.
Yep.
Not to be. So out of the 15. But, yeah. What else we got? What else we got going on with the in the Ashes scenario here?
Obviously, the big talking point is obviously Pat Cummins.
Cummins out.
He is out. And obviously, George Bailey again, watching that clip of him speaking about Pat Cummins, saying that he's on track to be ready potentially for the second or third test.
Second test? Okay.
But, I mean, are you going to rush? Potentially, you're going to rush and play him and potentially get injured in that second test, or do you leave him for the third, fourth, fifth?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, we got Boland, most likely to replace him, most likely. Build a man a statue. 6 for 7. Good against England in Australia. I think that's the obvious replacement, I think. Mm-hmm. But you lose a little bit with a bat, obviously. Pat Cummins does have a little more with the bat with Boland, but I think that's the slot straight in. And it's also kind of hard for Boland. As Aussies, I think as cricket fans, we love Scotty Boland being there, but he's the third, fourth guy in because you got Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins. You can't really, and you're always going to pick a spinner. So Lyon's always going to be in there. So he's in because of the injury. You want to see him, but you also don't want to see him when dropped out. Also Pat Cummins, hopefully he comes back. We'll see where Boland fits in.
But when you say, Scotty Boland's got 62 wickets at 16, mate.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Unbelievable. I mean, I think I was watching I think it was Stuart Broad and Josh Butler talking about it. In the Ashes in the UK, he struggled, right?
Yeah.
And I think they used his consistency as a weak point because they knew where he was going to put it, hence why Root was reverse sweeping, ramping. They used that as like a positive to bat against him.
Yeah.
A little bit different in Australia. Boundaries are bigger. The ball bounces a little bit more. So that's going to be an interesting period of players. How do they approach Scotty Boland? Are they going to back their defence or are they going to go on the counter-attack and do a bit of a ramp in, a bit of run down the wicket to put him off his line and length, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think the baseball style, I think, is going to, you know, play in. You know, that's the style of cricket that England plays. For the American fans, we're going to start with what is baseball? What does that mean? Baseball, for the Americans tuning in, it's a style of cricket that they claim to invent. McCollum has claimed to invent, where basically you're aggressive from the get go. It's a positive intent. Test cricket traditionally is leave it, only play the good ball. You know, play the day out, kind of like slow play. Baseball's not. Baseball is absolutely not what that is.
Straight out the gate.
Straight out the gate.
Yeah, for a game that's full of history, as you just mentioned, it's very strategic and you take your time and people, I guess, who don't know cricket, it's kind of boring, but there is a strategy with taking your time, hitting the right shots, leaving the ball. But yeah, this new baseball, they like to call it, I don't think they like to call it baseball. I think it's just an aggressive attacking way to play cricket, which has brought more excitement. It's trying to take draws out of the game.
Yeah.
And obviously, people in America is like, you play 5 days of cricket and you get a draw.
Yes.
I think with England's type of cricket, it's like, we're going to go for a win and risk getting defeat.
Yes.
So it's kind of exciting, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Even from yourself as an Australian, you're probably going to watch an England cricket series against India and be like, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I can say, it's made me watch Test cricket.
Yeah. I mean, because that's the thing. They're playing now. They're not playing out full 5 days. It can go full 5 days. We had some really good, just recently, India, England, that went full 5 days down to the very last, you know, wicket. You know, Wilksy coming out with the busted shoulder and the theatrics of trying to get those last few runs. But most of the time now, you're seeing that the shorter days, it all kind of wraps up by day four because they're going out hot. They've scored a quick fire, 300 or so. They're on their all out. Next bat comes in. All out but less than 300, and it kind of, the game moves a little faster. But we do hope for that 5 days. That 5 day theater last session is kind of the pinnacle of where you want to get the test to go. Walk us through what it's like. Top of your mark. First day of a test.
Yeah.
Slip caught and stacked. Crowds cheering you in. What's that like?
Yeah, I think I've been in many different situations as a youngster where you're a little bit nervy. And as a little bit older, where you're comfortable in your own skin, you feel like you put the preparation, the training, the bowling in the practice area. And if you're the first ball of a series, you have the ability to make an impact straight away. Yeah. Whether that's take a wicket of the first ball of the Ashes, which has happened.
Yes.
Or you go down a route where someone's balled an absolute pile of shit. And that's the thing that's spread across the whole cricket media across the world for the next day. But I think it's amazing. You have the opportunity to be at the top of your mark, getting ready to deliver a ball, and you have the ability to kind of start off that series.
Yes.
You can hit someone in the head with a fast bouncer, a fast pitch.
Yes.
You can hit someone's wickets or get someone out, and this is business.
You can bowl someone down, get it a fourth slip. You can bowl at the
I guess the audience won't know, but I've one of the England's best ever bowlers, in my opinion, Steve Harmison, his first ball of the series, he bowled and it went about 10 meters too wide.
Yes.
And it was spread across the globe.
Yes.
But yeah, that's definitely not going to happen this time around, mate.
Okay. Okay. We can go back to Burns, Stark taking Burns' first pill. Around the legs, or you go back to, I just watched this morning, Crawley, you go back a series, four, first ball, Cummins, bang, through the extra cover, shot. It could go both ways.
It could go
either way.
That's the beauty of it.
That's the beauty of Test cricket.
That's cricket.
That's cricket. That's cricket. Ben Stokes, touchdown in WA, the Aussie papers gave him a good spray. Front page, Bazball Bash. How did it roll? What did they say?
The West Australian paper, first off, obviously Ben Stokes is the English cricket captain.
Yes.
He was born in New Zealand, so that's how it starts. Kiwi born.
That's news to me now. News to me now, yeah.
They're just throwing a little dig in early.
Little dig.
But they, you can go into the crease gate, but what it said in the article is England cocky captain, complainer, still smarting from crease gate. Lands in Perth early thinking dopey Bazball can take the Ashes.
So crease gate, for the Americans tuning in, it's one of the most controversial moments in cricket, definitely of recent history. Let's walk it through in the baseball terms for them. So let's set the scene. We have England is batting. Johnny Bairstow is on strike. He's at the crease.
The big orange.
The big orange man, the keeper. Who's a catcher? Who's a catcher? Yep. A keeper. Okay. What's happening in the bowling? You have Cam Green bowling the ball. Alex Carey, he's the keeper for Australia. He's the main character here, the other main character in this in this scenario. Pat Cummins is the captain of Australia. Now, in cricket, what happens is that you can't leave your crease. Instead of having a bag, instead of having the base, there's a line that's running parallel to the opposing stumps, and the batter has to stay inside that line. Mm-hmm. Once he leaves the crease, he is now technically off the bag, off the base.
Yep.
Now, there is a little caveat inside of the rules where if the ball is dead, if the play is kind of ended, once the keeper catches the ball, throws it away to a fielder, or the ball makes its way back to the umpire, the over is called, the ball is dead, and the batter can move out of the crease.
Yeah, it's kind of when there's no threat of taking a run.
Yes.
The play is dead, the batsman's not looking to run, he's not looking to do anything apart from maybe go and attend the pitch.
Yes.
Because in cricket, when a bowler balls it, it hits the surface. The batsman is allowed in between pitches is to go and tend it, like a green keeper.
Yeah, so it gets a little bat, little tap tap.
A bit like in golf when you chip the ball on a par three and it makes
a great point.
Dent in the green.
Yes, it'll fix it.
You're allowed to manipulate it and knock it back in
place. Yeah, so you're going to see that when you watch the cricket. You're going to see them walk out of their crease, tap their bat, tap, tap, tap on the ground, because the ball's going to make a little scuff, maybe toss up a little bit of grass or something. You want to tap that down. You don't want any imperfections in the pitch. So, but the Australians at this time, they noticed that Johnny Bairstow was casually, continually walking out of his crease after he had left the ball go or ducked behind the ball. He was walking out of his crease. And so as a catcher, you're not keeping up to the stumps. It's not like baseball where the catcher's right there behind the batter. The catcher's like 50 feet back. Yeah. He's way back there because these bowlers are bowling quick. And so they have a little conversation. Pat Cummins is like, hey, just throw the ball at the stumps next time he leaves his crease. So they set it up. Cam Green bowls in. The ball's bouncer. It's one hops over to the catcher, the carry. Underarms the ball right away. Hits the pegs, hits the stumps, and Bairstow is out of his crease. All of a sudden, Aussies are up. They're appealing. England can't believe it. Stokes is at the other end. He's the non-striker or the batter. And all of a sudden, it blows up. All of a sudden, it's controversy city, but under the rules of cricket, under the rules of cricket, you're out, and that was the intent. The intent was if Carey had at any moment taken the ball, paused, thrown the ball away. It wouldn't have been, it would have been obviously against the spirit of cricket. You're going to hear the spirit of cricket, but right away they noticed it, took the ball right away, threw it right back to the stumps. Bo Stowell left his crease. How's that one? How about that one? It was given out.
It's just another controversial period in cricket that Australia's in again, you know?
Yeah.
It's just another thing.
Controversial
to
thing.
To back on top another back thing, you
another
know?
Another thing.
Another and thing, you know?
Yes. And so then it began this whole, we're going to call crease gate, where, well, now the members gave them a spray, gave the Aussies a spray coming off the field. It was the spirit of cricket is, it's coming under scrutiny and Australians aren't playing the game. It's not in the spirit of the game. But inside of the rules of cricket, it was a lawful dismissal, had to be given out.
Correct.
Had to be given out. And so let's see. I don't know how much controversy. We're probably going to get something spicy in this series for sure. I'm sure there'll be something spicy.
I think what we're going to go, a lot of the audience are going to be like, what the duck are they talking about here?
What the duck?
But I think that's a good sort of transition to speak to our man.
Yes.
So the next, I've got a lovely guest on the podcast who maybe can help us mix between baseball and cricket.
Yes.
And give some sort of overall idea what we're actually talking about.
That's it, guys. We're going to be talking to Talkin' Jake. We'll see you in the next segment. We're in the studio team with the man, the myth, the legend, Talkin' Jake. That's Cricket. Welcome. Welcome to That's Cricket. How's that one? That's
Thank out. You for having me, boys. I, as you know, the game is overcoming me. That's not a phrase.
I mean, that's definitely not a phrase.
It's some sort of phrase.
It's something.
It's taken over my best friend Jim, as you guys have seen.
Yes.
And I've jumped in by playing, as I think we're going to talk about a little bit. So I have a little bit of perspective on that. You probably have a little more than me on that. And yeah, man, I'm like the test subject.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, American boy who loves sports, loves baseball. How are we going to infiltrate? So I'm excited.
It's good. We had, we were out in the warehouse with you. Liam and I were out there. We changed you up a little bit. You went out to Barbados. You played. Yeah. You guys had the Americans trying to win one game, two games. How was your first cricket experience? Tell, walk us through what it was like getting your first rolling the arm over for the first time. And then all the way down to the Barbados. MVP status right here.
Yeah.
Shirt off on the beach.
You know, MVP, first ever shirtless player in the Beach Blast tournament. You look
beautiful doing it.
Always, got a stern but fair talking to about that, and that won't happen again. But it was awesome. It was cool. It was cool getting actual training. And, you know, the dudes that rolled through, Liam, Corey, like, guys that, you know, the resume's there.
Resume's like there.
I think you don't try to fool people. I think you've been training for 3 years now. Well, I met you 3 years ago and we did our first session.
So that's the other thing. We've done our ball and play in the warehouse for a little while, which, again, the brilliance of Jimmy on display there of how do I make a game that basically is cricket, that's indoors, that's not cricket, that I'm almost just teaching these guys, hey, this is a game. Like, almost don't even, you're not ready for cricket, let's start here.
Yeah.
And we did that, and now, you know, half of our office knows how to play ball and play, and then it's like, okay, well, this is in cricket. And this is, so it's funny, as you guys know and maybe could get frustrated by, we still relate it back to baseball stuff, because that's what everyone grew up on.
Yeah.
But yeah, the straight arm angle freaks you out at first, just because baseball is so against that. Although, and I know we're going to play a little What the Duck later, but there was a pitcher this postseason, Trey Savage, who had the highest release point, and he was basically he turned his body and was almost straight up.
Wow!
So yeah, I'll have to get you in the lab with him
because
that's probably your easiest win right now. But yeah, because that's one of the biggest differences. Hey, end of the day, as you guys saw, and you know, most valuable player. I think it was best player. I don't know.
MVP.
Let's not get lost in the details there. See the ball, hit the ball, like, and that's I can function with that in any sport, golf, baseball, like.
Yeah, I mean, it was awesome doing the YouTube series of you guys learning to play cricket in the warehouse, but then when you obviously touch down in Barbados, it was good to go. Obviously, a beautiful backdrop with the ocean, the beach. A few guys, your aim is to win one game.
Yeah.
And then you played that first game and called Tucker first ball into the ocean, an absolute monster six.
Right.
It was a great way to start. And you guys were absolutely buzzing. But it was obviously great to have you guys there, and that MVP is just reward, mate. You're outstanding.
The medal is next to the bed. I look at it every morning, and that's what I strive for every day. So, yeah, when Cole hit that first one, honestly, it's one of those weird things. We live a pretty weird lifestyle here at John Boy Media that, okay, now, you know, Barbados cricket tournament, you're like, yeah. Let's you know, a couple months before, you find yourself on the beach.
Yeah.
And someone's about to throw the ball, and you're like, all right. So we're actually doing this. When Cole hit that, like, I think we all relaxed a little bit and then we had a blast down.
And that first win, the goal was to win one game. Yeah. And expectations, maybe not as high after that indoor cricket game. You got absolutely the drubbing there. I was there for that. But that game, that first win, Tell us through that first win, how that went.
Well, it was just... It was the great debate through all of this was, who are we playing? Because we played that indoor cricket game, and we came out, and we were on defense first, which, again, we can correct that talk in a little bit. But, you know, we did our thing. We were fielding the ball. We were making plays, and it was like, okay. Hey, all right, let's go hit. And, again, some spoilers if you haven't seen the video, but it didn't go well. We ended up in the negatives for a little bit, which that
I think
hurt.
The whole bit.
That hurt the soul. The whole bit was negative. I'd like to say when I was out there, the team was plus offensively, but we don't need to harp on that again. man, it was one of those, again, when we land in Barbados and it's all getting real and a lot of our crew, you know, we got a lot of younger dudes who hadn't been, like, out of the country and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, okay.
First passport.
And now you're like, yes. And now you're like, okay, what if we're playing? Because in my head, the equivalent of this is rolling up to a weekend baseball charity tournament or something like that. And, hey, you know, maybe there's some dudes that played in high school. Maybe there's some guys out there to have fun who haven't played since T-ball and just, you know, are out there to be out there. Or if you roll out and you got the guy that, yeah, you know, I didn't make it to the show, I got hurt or something like that, you could be in for a long day and a bad time.
Yeah.
That there was a little bit in the stomach, like, if we roll up and these are dudes, we could be having a bad time. First team was a great matchup for us. And the fact we got another one, well, we got that in the bank forever.
Yeah.
I was happy I was a part of that.
Yeah, you got involved there.
I took one wicket, but I actually got dispatched everywhere.
Yeah, we were, you know.
I was a disappointment
and,
for you guys.
In the movie scene, things got really exciting for a second, and then everyone started looking around like, I don't know, do we have to give Liam the hook here?
Yeah, take your sweater and go and field over there.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Why don't you get back in the booth, buddy?
Now, for us coming up, we have the Ashes.
Yeah.
Australia, England, it's the biggest, it's the oldest, I'm going to go on the oldest rivalry in sports. You, big Yankees fan, We've been, Ashes started 1882. That's a long time. Yankees, Red Sox, What's that timeline look like? What's that rivalry compared to Ashes with England and Australia?
So, it gets tricky. I mean, I guess Babe Ruth is what everyone, you grow up, you learn who Babe Ruth is, and then you find out the story, and he was traded for money for a Broadway play, basically, I guess not even Broadway at the time, but, and so I grew up in Connecticut, between New York and Boston. Half my friends are Boston, half my friends are Yankees, so, like, in a way, I think it gave me a great perspective to be able to do what I do now. Because, man, we used to roll up to the high school lunch table, and it was on, man. Mm. That guy sucks. This guy's good. Like, we would let it eat out there. Baseball and, like, okay, you start doing Americana and that bullshit. Sorry. Maybe first shirtless player in Barbados and first swear on the show. Boston, for a while, they were the losers. It used to be 1918 was the chant because that was the last time they won a World Series.
Wow.
And that lines up. It was the curse of the Bambino, Babe Ruth, and who Babe Ruth was in our country. And he still is. You just can drop the Babe.
Yeah.
And now he's gotten brought up more with Shohei because he was the last guy to really hit and pitch well in baseball. And now what Shohei is turning into internationally. The rivalry hasn't... When me and Jimmy were in high school, that was kind of the peak. Boston comes back a 3-0 deficit, which in baseball had never been done before, against the Yankees. And, like, again, the Boston people had been raised of, like, these guys torture us. Like, we're the bad guys. They buy players. They're New York versus Boston. Like, it was the cities. It was winning and losing. It was Boston kind of was like the grit and the grind and like, they, you know, the stories that came out afterwards were, you know, they were taking shots before the game and they like a team bonding shot. And that was, at the time, that was Boston. Like, yeah, we're gritty. Yeah. Fried chicken buckets and a shot of whiskey. Let's go beat their ass. Where New York was like, you know, we are the standard. We are the professionals. We are the best. We are going to beat you. And then over the past 20 years or so, Boston has won 4, and they've just kind of changed their whole narrative as a city because you start leaking into the other sports. The Patriots had a dynasty. Like, they just started winning. And New York Yankees only have won 2009. But the tricky part is, and this is where you guys probably have the advantage, well, A, whenever you bring countries into it, your pride just starts leaking out of you. And you need them to line up at the same time. Like, there has only been a couple Yankees-Red Sox years that both of those teams have been really ready to go. Hopefully we might be coming up on a next set of that. But there was a little bit in like 2018, 2019 range that they were back in it. But, you know, 03, 04, like that was real. And like, I'm excited. A lot of the younger people in our office, they haven't truly felt that yet and they will. And it's a special level. I don't think it can mess with countries though.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
When you touch on that, it's like having the right teams come together at the right time. It feels like the Ashes, there's always going to be a stronger team between Australia and England, but they seem to always match up and it's going to be competitive.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And when you touch on, obviously, the countries, Australia used to come across to England on a cruise liner back in the day.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks on the cruise liner, probably sinking beers galore.
Yeah.
3 weeks holiday, 3 weeks practice, and then straight off the boat onto the pitch. And then you could talk about David Boone. David Boone, famous Australian cricket player, batsman. I think he had the record for maybe like 28 beers on that flight across from Australia to England.
These are all sponsored by the beer companies, and they would drink all the beer on the plane.
Baseball's got a few of those guys.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Not as much now. Everyone's healthy and clean and that stuff. There's a few that leak out, but
getting out at the right time.
We need to bring that back tastefully. I don't know if we need the 30 beer flight. But I don't know. So many guys get hurt now just because I think their body is so wired and muscle. And I'm not saying the full beer diet, but there's something there.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Yeah. You mentioned Babe Ruth, the comparison. We're going to run into comparisons right now. The comparison in cricket is a man named Sir Donald Bradman. He is what I refer to as the Babe Ruth of cricket. Big in that pre-World War I era through the post-World War II era. He kind of like revitalized cricket and was the biggest name. He has the best record. His record is like 50% better than anyone else that's ever played.
Okay.
Test average of 99.
Okay, Sir Donald.
Sir Donald. Okay. Sir Donald's the guy.
Sir Don. Sir Don. Okay, Sir Don. Yeah. See, that helps. That's what I need.
Yeah. Sir Don, he's the guy. So that would be the comparison between the Babe Ruth of baseball and to the Babe Ruth of cricket kind of comparison. We're going to roll with you now with this Ashes coming up. We're going to go through some players, and you're going to give us who that is, who that looks like in the current baseball world.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm in.
I'm going to set off with an Australian.
Okay.
He's all right. As a player, magnificent bowler.
Okay.
Long levers. Lefty.
Okay.
Can probably max out at 96, 95
he's got,
miles
he's
an hour.
He's got over to 100. He's got one ball over 100 clicks.
2 years back. He's a little bit older now, but he's been around the block for a long time.
Yeah.
Obviously, rapid pace, swings the ball into a righty, away from a lefty. He can get wickets from ball one.
Okay.
But also, he's gettable.
Okay.
So, a comparison, someone who's long-levered, balls absolute rockets, but he's gettable.
The starting pitcher.
So the first name that jumped to my head was Aroldis Chapman. He came over the Cuban Missile, lefty, shoulders and just built like very few people you've ever seen. Has thrown the hardest pitch in MLB history.
Okay.
So the only caveat here, he's not a starting pitcher. He was for a little bit. They moved him to the bullpen just because he was so electric that it was like shut down. If you want to win the game, this is the guy. He did have a phase there where he used to throw 104 miles per hour. I think 105, I think, is his record. And So he kind of came down from that, but it was still 99, 100, like still very good. But as he got older, he started to get a little more hittable. Like, you know, that it was in play, and one of the corny baseball things that isn't always true, but the harder they throw, the harder it goes. Yep. That it sounds like there's a little bit of that. He just had a bounce back season where he evolved his game just a little bit more. His accuracy was a little wild because of the velo, that he kind of toned that in, that he just had one of his best seasons ever. So that was the initial where my brain jumped.
Your first go-to?
Yeah.
We'll roll with that. I'm going to go with a batter. We're going to go with English batter, Joe Root. So very classy.
I've seen some Joe Root.
Very, very classy batting technique. Okay. You know, he's going to end up being most runs scored of all time. He's now two. He's chasing down Sachin Tendulkar for the most runs scored. In cricket, yeah, very good technique, a lot of runs, you know, good technique batter. Who's the
I'll
guy?
I'll give you one more on top
one
of
more,
that.
Give okay. me one more.
On Rooty, it's calm and collective. Mm. He doesn't really, he changes demeanor.
Right.
He's always smiling through it.
How's the power?
He's got enough power to hit the ball into the stand, but he's very skillful in terms of, obviously with the baseball fans watching, we're allowed to score behind us. He's very skillful at doing scoop shots and manipulating the field. So he's one of the best that's ever played the game.
So he's just beating you. How is he? Do you guys care about defense? Like, where's he at defensively? Like, when
as a fielder?
Yes, because I guess for baseball, when I'm jumping and thinking about these guys, like, it was none of what you guys said. So I just don't know how much of my comparison should be there mentally.
Yeah, I can give you. So he fields in the slips.
Okay.
So in terms of baseball terminology, he would stand next to where the catcher is.
Right.
And he's
so
very
he's
good.
In. Okay.
He doesn't drop many catches.
Yeah.
He also bowls like a part-time spinner. So he's valuable in terms of he can pick up and break partnerships with wickets.
Okay. Okay.
Three-pronged attack for you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I love it.
That's, you got him down.
See,
in,
no,
yeah.
you give me more and I'm in on it. So I need an all-time guy, right?
Yeah. All-time batter, yeah.
He's probably going to become a sir. Your route.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think.
Shoot.
Yeah. So think Hall of Famer.
Okay. Okay. So I think I want an infield. How about this? I'll take a chance on this one, and it's topical. I'm going to go with Freddie Freeman, first baseman for the Dodgers. He just won the World Series.
Yeah.
He's not known for his power, but he's one of the best just all-around hitters, and it's just class.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it.
It's first class. He plays first base, so he's on the infield, and he plays kind of in. He's going to go down as an all-timer. I don't think you would say he's, when you're starting your best teams ever list, it doesn't start with him, but when you look at this era, it was something that I used to say on Talking Baseball, that if you were looking for the best all-around hitter, in this era of Judge and Otani and these different guys, those guys, their power and every, you know, that's what makes them special. Freddie doesn't have that, but he's just, if that guy doesn't want to be beat, that guy can kind of not be beat. So that's, and he's classy. He's Freddie.
Yeah. Freddie
classy.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That was a good one.
So next one would be one of my good friends, Mark Wood. Out and out fast bowler, can hit 97.
Okay.
95, but regularly he's above 90 miles an hour. Probably won't like me saying this, but he's quite slight.
Okay.
He's one of them guys, like, you've lost weight, he gets upset.
Right.
But he'll run in and bowl fast all day. He puts that much effort in. When he follows through, he often falls over with the amount of force he's putting through.
I like this cat.
So yeah, he's very, like, maybe 6 foot, slight, but bowls absolute rockets.
Okay.
Very aggressive, will bowl bouncers, which means he's attacking the batsman trying to hit them.
Mm.
So that's kind of him. He's accurate with it, though.
Okay. He's accurate. He's accurate, but he's not...
Slender.
He's slender. Composure. He's composed, but not with the body necessarily. Like if he's coming barreling in.
So to imagine someone when they've just threw a javelin.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of...
And they go.
I think you did it.
You were trying to teach me that.
That's exactly how he does
and
it.
And I was like, I don't know. This feels a little bit like a prank. Let's see. Shorty on the bump. I'm looking at the teams
he's
now.
Got her, he's
I,
going,
I need to find this.
Shorty on the bump.
As you've got, that's the name of my next podcast. Let's see. Padres have anyone? Texas, Seattle. Everyone's big.
He's big. He's a big dude.
It would have been
6 foot.
Okay.
Like Barrios. It would have been Brian Bello.
Like going back a little bit Strowman. Like Lincecum's in my head a little
okay.
bit. I don't know how Lincecum's nickname was the Freak. I don't know if that changes anything or rules him out.
Would you give him the nickname the Freak? On or off the pitch?
No, off the pitch.
Okay.
He's
a clean
on.
Cut guy.
Clean cut guy.
Okay.
He's funny, a good character.
Okay, I think I've got it. This guy's gotten forgotten in baseball a little bit because of his recent injuries. Mm. Very hard thrower. Spencer Strider. He's on the Atlanta Braves.
Okay.
The only thing, body types we might be... The velocity's very impressive. Like, that's what he's known for. The other thing he's known for that's a little different than this, like, hamstrings. Like, he has the lower body. There's some images that look almost unreal. I'll try to bring one up.
What, stacked? As in, like, strong?
So, yes, his legs are incredible.
Strong glute?
Glute is there. He has very big feet.
Okay. So listed like, 6 feet tall.
Listed the 6 feet. There. Okay. This is perfect. There's just something about it that feels unreal. Because, again, I think he's shorter than your average picture. So, like, the thighs pop. The feet are out.
Let's go with that. Woody has skinny legs,
okay.
But everything else matches okay. up. So let's just
okay.
go with that.
Yeah, it's where okay. The legs don't fit the player comp there, but I like everything else.
There we go. Final one we got for you. We're gonna go with Steve Smith. So sure. gonna go down as one of the greatest batsmen right. ever, Hall of Famer to get that word right. across. But very the word we use unorthodox, very unique batting style.
Okay.
Stumps steps across his crease, but has the hand-eye coordination of best of anyone ever.
Right.
You know, you can't teach it. You can't teach what he does, but he's the best. Going to go to the best batter, one of the best batters of all time.
All time.
Well, he's going to go down to one time. Of the best all of all time. Yeah.
Like, yeah, I know Steve Smith.
But unique in his batting style.
Also has a home in New York, in Manhattan.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, he spends a lot of time here.
Okay.
I would describe him in the nicest way possible as like a frog in a blender. That's what it's like to bowl at. He's like everywhere.
Okay.
He's so hard to pin down.
Okay.
He's hard to bowl a dot ball at.
Right.
So obviously in cricket, you can hit a forward defense, a bunt.
Right.
You can stay where you are.
Yeah.
So he's hard Survive. To tie down. He'll okay. manage to hit the ball into gaps and get off strike.
Okay. So the comparison there would be not getting struck out, which, again, has become a more and more important skill in baseball just as the velocity has gone up and the spin has gone up. It's just increasingly harder. To not strike out, to be an all-time hitter.
I've actually got one more thing. What he's really, really good at is he can change tempo quickly.
Okay.
In baseball, it's kind of different, I guess, because cricket, you're looking to bat for a long time.
Right.
He can absorb pressure, and all of a sudden he just attacks.
Okay.
And then he can obviously put pressure on your ball straight away, and the game can change like that with him.
So he can kind of, he does it all.
Yeah.
Okay. So I initially started, and again, I'll have BBD be my like spell check here for baseball. Where I started is an all-time guy, but I don't think he's all-time enough for Steve Smith. Was Gary Sheffield. Gary Sheffield has one of the more unique batting stances of all time. He used to, while the pitch was coming, he would just do this.
So he does. So Steve Smith has this, he has tics. He'll like touch his body. He'll touch his elbow, touch his pads. And he does a lot of fidgeting before he starts to bat.
So the guy, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. There's some PED stuff there. he's one of the most.
Oh, so there's controversy.
A little bit.
Okay. That's
Steve Smith's got a lot of controversy.
Okay. So there's a little bit of, it's one of the most iconic stances of all times. Cause the pitch would be coming in and you see a lot of hitters kind of have the bat back ready to go. And he would be, basically, the bat is pointed at the pitcher. And he just had the strongest wrists of forearms of all time.
Okay.
So that's where I initially started. But where I think Steve Smith on the pantheon of baseball is higher than Gary Sheffield. So I'm trying to think of, like, the inner circle all-time guys. Who's got a little bit of funk to them?
He can catch also. Very good.
Okay.
Very good fielder.
Okay. Okay. You got anything?
Even good at third base. Even good at third base. Good at throwing down the stumps.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. I love me a good third baseman. I mean, if you're looking, this is, if you're looking for a little, how much controversy are we looking for?
I don't know.
I'm obviously going to be careful with what I say because they're probably going to walk him to the down right. in the street or a coffee
and
shop.
And I'm looking for the invite to his apartment. So, like,
I think you might have come across it. It was the whole, like, sandpaper scandal.
Okay.
Go ahead, mate.
How about this?
I'll cut you guys both off at the back. Where I jumped at, he's an all-time player. He kind of doesn't get as recognized as much because he had some PED stuff, and he's just an interesting cat. It's Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod.
Okay.
A-Rod, all-time, played third base because of Jeter, but if he stayed at shortstop, people would talk about him as the best player of all time. And yeah, he just could do everything. I think I guess the only difference there was something. A-Rod had a mechanical style to his play that his preparation and who he was, like, he was very much a guy that he had a swing that almost wasn't flashy or impressive, and he still would hit a home run, and you'd just be like, wow, like, how did that happen? But that's where I guess between those two, I'm trying to, anyone else pop up?
Like, kind of a guy who also gets compared to A-Rod and has had controversy, especially when he was younger. Manny Machado's in my head a little bit.
Okay, that's a little more new age, and he's got a little more action to his swing. Yeah,
we'll see where it all lands as far as all time, where he stands, but...
I'll go the Sheffield A-Rod hybrid right
there.
You go.
I think I like the A-Rod, especially in with the Yankees.
Because Steve Smith is.
Yeah, he's like, you know.
Steve Smith.
Yeah, Steve Smith. So.
One more would be Ben Stokes. Have you heard of Ben Stokes?
I've heard of Ben Stokes.
England captain, all-rounder. I'm not clued up with baseball, but I'm sure he would be the Otani.
Yes.
You've got to be.
Can bat, can bowl, can win you a game.
Yeah.
With both.
I mean, that's the thing. Shohei is the only guy that can do that right now, which is nuts, and for the past 100 of years of baseball. So I am very interested, and I'll leave the window cracked open for all the baseball people that come over. Shohei is a freak, and I don't think we're going to see more of it. But it's just we haven't even allowed guys to be all-rounders. Like, there's kind of like a guy from every decade that there is a rumor like, okay, could he? And then it gets shot down before it even starts, but also because they couldn't. Shohei has. That I hope there's a baseball in 30 years where they're not going to be Shohei, but like baseball has never even been open to the concept of guys that are average at both. Hey, you're a pretty average outfielder, you're a pretty average pitcher. That's good.
Yeah.
Those are both guys on the team that baseball hasn't allowed. So I think in 20, 30 years, baseball will have a few of those guys. I wonder if like all rounder becomes a baseball term. But yeah, if he's doing that, baseball doesn't have that. Like I would, the alternate to that for years would just be a guy who's great defensively and great offensively, which there's a few of those guys out there, but Otani's the. He's the guy.
When you talk about all-rounders, I think cricket allows for average all-round cricketers.
Yeah.
Like bits and pieces.
Right.
Like yourself?
Exactly. I didn't really bat, though. So it's like they would play a county cricket, which is professional cricket back in the UK.
Right.
And a lot of the teams would be stacked with all-rounders who could bat a little bit and bowl a little bit.
Right.
And it was kind of crucial to the team.
Yeah.
But yeah, to your point, it's like what age do people, okay, this is what you're going to do as a hitter or as a pitcher? You know what I mean?
Well, that's what Trevor Plouffe, who you've had. Have you gotten to meet yet?
I don't think in person.
You're lucky. Yeah. Trevor is my guy. But, you know, out of high school, he was a first round pick in baseball, which, you know, that's 18 years old. You're cream of the crop. Like, and he was the best two-way player out of California, which one of our biggest states. So, you know, so you start doing the math there. And he was good at both. But, like, when he signed with his team, they told him to stop pitching. Like, they didn't even, like, continue that because they're just like, that doesn't work in baseball. That for all the, like, if Trevor had put a couple hours a week into being a pitcher, could he have done some things out of the bullpen? It's a concept that the door hasn't been open on. That, again, I don't want to take away from Shohei's greatness because there's also a chance we're sitting down for That's Cricket in 50 years and you guys have to hold me up while we're doing it. That I'm like, well, we never saw another Shohei or anything really like it. But I guess when I look at cricket and like just the fact that an all-rounder can exist, it's like, I think it can. Like, especially these are young guys who are the best athletes in the world that I don't know. I don't know if that's optimistic or blind or whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm excited for the American fans to get in to watch it and kind of learn how that is, because like we have these guys that are all the all-rounders. They are the Ohtanis. They bat, they bowl, they save the innings with the bat or the ball. And right. it's built into the concept of cricket. That's you need multiple, neither of these two guys on the team that can do that.
Right.
So,
well, that's where, and there could be a drama part to baseball because guys do that in Little League and it's like, oh, hey, the shortstop can also pitch. He's going to come in now. The drama that could add to baseball would be like, hey, our right fielder's a sick pitcher. When are they going to tap him in? It just gets tricky because they need time to warm up. And then are you delaying the game? How much? And yada, yada, yada. But we could figure that out. Figure that out.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you go.
I have one thing I'd love in cricket is when you have, obviously, the pitchers are going to get ready in the bullpen.
Yeah.
But cricket, I would love somewhere that you could do that.
Okay.
I know everyone's on the field at once.
Yeah.
But there should be the ability for the bowler who's been told he's going to bowl in 6 pitches time.
Yeah.
Can you just nip off and get warmed up a little bit?
Yeah.
You know?
So you guys don't have that at all?
No, because you're on field all the time.
The field. Literally, it's just warm up and you couple of roll the arm over.
So you don't get to throw one?
No, I mean, so you got the start of the game. Yeah. And for my position, you'd have the opening bowlers.
Right.
I'd probably bowl 40 minutes into it. So then you just sat in the outfield for 40 minutes.
Right.
Sat running in the outfield, obviously.
Yeah.
Running in the outfield, waiting for your turn.
Yeah.
So then in 40 minutes time, you have to be, okay, I'm good to go.
So you just you're just doing arm circles out there. And the
old school star jumps.
I guess you don't need this because no elbow, but that's a baseball fake warm up.
All of the things in the outfield, star jumps, burpees, just getting myself ready to go.
That's crazy, man. And that's another thing where, okay, this is an old man yelling at Cloud who did not play, but like, we've become very protective of the athletes because of their health, and I get it, but also, like, if that can happen, like, baseball, they still come in and they get, when they come in, they get 10 to 12 warm-ups or something like that, but they throw, like, a full bullpen before that, so they warm up in the bullpen, they run to the mound to get the blood going even more, and then they get warm-up throws in.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
Yes. Oh, wow. So, like, that's...
No excuse.
So, okay, now I'll go tell baseball players that they need to be doing that, and they'll look at me
just
like,
out there. Just roll the arm over.
Right.
That'll be good.
That's what I do.
There we go. Jake, thank you so much for being a part of this.
And
thank
you. We're gonna wrap it up. I want you to do the wrap. I want you to look down the barrel and give me a and that's cricket.
That's cricket.
Way! Beautiful. Well done, mate. Cheers.
Thank you.